This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
I welcome everybody to today's class. I believe that the month has been very rewarding. A lot of us are making serious adjustments from the feedback I'm getting. The classes are not just tuning in to listen and then forget about the things they've learned or to while away time. A lot of people have made some serious decisions, as in like life-altering decisions based on the classes we've been having. And that is the purpose. A lot of people who hold false premises in their head, a lot of people who used to believe that they are under spiritual attack. When they come into knowledge, it is easy for them to then realize that it is not spiritual attack. That, they've been handling things the wrong way. And as a result of that, they adjust. So today I'll be speaking on the topic, staying consistent at the top. For some believers, Christianity is like swimming and keeping your head underwater for a long time. And then when you're about to drown, you just lift your head up a little too, taking a short, quick, short breath. And then the head is going back under the water. They are always drowning. And just as they are about to die, something will happen and they will just miraculously survive. For some believers, that is the story of their life. And this is their pattern from when they are 20, and the pattern remains till they are 40, till they are 50. Some, they cannot consistently say that they have financial victory. Some, they cannot consistently say that they are happily married, that they enjoyed their marriage for 1 year, that the marriage was smooth, that there were no serious issues, no unnecessary contentions. They can't say that. Just 1 year, and they will be celebrating 15 years, 20 years, 20th anniversary, and there will be no 1 year that they can say, at least this particular year. This particular year, all we had was victories. There are some people, they cannot even say we did a business and we're able to cross 10 million threshold, 20 million threshold, 15 million threshold. Some people have been renting houses and having issues with paying rent for 20 years. Every year, same story. Struggle to pay rent. It has become endemic. It has become the pattern for them. Some, they are in and out of depression. They will say themselves, I'm in that season, driving that. No, I just want to be by myself now. And another season, they will be happy. So every time they look at the calendar year, they are in and out of one issue or the other. There is no, the only consistent thing about them is how inconsistent they are with victory. No consistent victory. Always from one issue to the other. Some, they can never keep a job. Not to talk of build a career. They say to themselves, I want to build my career to the top. But they have worked with 20 organizations at the same level. No upward movement. Only sideways, horizontal movements, sometimes with less pay, sometimes with a little bit of a high pay, they just find themselves stuck in the bottom barrel of reality. Some will experience one breakthrough, and then the gap between one breakthrough and the next will be 5 years. And by that time, it is always when things they are almost dead before they will now see a little mercy. When they get this little mercy, they cannot build on it. To build the momentum on the grace, on the answered prayer, to build the momentum and run with it so that they don't need to lack anything anymore. I remember a friend of mine, a pastor, he said to me that, you know what I think? I said, what do you think? He said, I think that if God gives me everything I want, I wouldn't pray again. I will backslide. I looked at him. He said, what a stupid way to think. Like, you are stupid. For talking like that, your brain is not working. Anybody who thinks like that. I asked him, I said, have I backslided? He said, no. I said, what? Have I ever in my life asked you for a couple of help? You've known me now for 32 years. Have I ever, since you met me, did I ever tell you at any time that I had a down season? Did I ever come to you to say, I'm sorry, I've been helping you all this while, please, it's your turn to help me. Has that ever happened? He said, no. I said, have I backslided? Am I no longer serving the Lord? He said, no, you are one of the most consistent Christians I know. I said, so what do you mean by if God gives a Christian everything the Christian needs, the Christian will have no reason to pray again. You'll be at ease. You'll not be sleeping. You will no longer be fired up to pray. I said, may I not be one of those who problems with what is firing me up to pray? I'm full of grace. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Father that dwells in me. He encourages me to pray. He wakes me up. You can ask anyone. 5 a.m. Up to 5 a.m. Every blessed day. Even if I slept at 2, I'll wake up up to 5 a.m. Every blessed day. Every blessed day. And when he wakes me up with music. Wake me up with I'm not with solutions. Then I will stay awake, I will walk. And I will walk with joy, not with stress. I will sit up, I will walk, I will do my study for the day. I will begin to make calls. People here can testify. How I will call them 2 a.m., 3 a.m. If I notice they have counseling issues, somebody send a message at 1 a.m., I will call the person 3 a.m. Person will pick. I will solve marriage, parental issues. So this is in the middle of the night. I'll be on the call with them. I'll settle everything. Once I finish everything, around 7, 8 in the morning, I will now take a little rest. And then by 10, I'm out for my business. What do you mean that you will not pray? You'll be useless if God bless you. My God, what kind of mentality? What kind of mentality is that? So this is why you stay poor. When you attach your fervency and your zeal to poverty, you tell yourself that if God blesses you, that you will not serve God again. So let God not bless me. You know, as that person was in the Bible, I don't want to have too much, lest I become too fat and I will not bless you again. And I don't want to have too little, lest I have too little and I go hungry. So keep me average. That is not my prayer. Hey! Hi, yeah, yeah. I have a target. I can't tell you my target, but I'm going to meet it. I have a target that I told the Lord. I said, just for the fun of it. Just for the fun of it. I want to have in savings a certain amount every month. Every month. Every month. I just want to have it. I just want to have it. Just so that I can say I have it. I mean, just so I can say I have it. Because what you have received is more than gold. If you how you choose to relate with it and make sense of it and make it work for you, it's up to you. It's not up to me. It is up to you to make the best of the gift of salvation. To make the best of it. To make a good life out of this eternal life. To make a victorious life out of this eternal life. It's up to you. It's up to you and your decision making. So please, I believe I've done my introduction. Let me get into the class and show us how to stay consistent at the top. It begins with your mind. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? I was in a vision years ago. I saw Jesus sitting down, surrounded by females. All the females were, they had dreadlocks. All of them. And they were of different races, black, Asians, all different. And they were all seated around them. And the Lord was telling them a story. And it seems to me in that vision that we men were not allowed to come in, that Jesus was talking to only females. But that many of us were interested in what he was teaching the ladies. So we stood where we could hear him. Then one of them asked the Lord a question. She said, "Will you give me anything I ask you?" And the Lord said, "What do you lack that I have not given?" The Lord said to her, "This is not a good way to use your question, because you have everything, and you are asking the question as if there is something you lack. What do you want to ask of me that you don't have already?" So the lady then said, "No, I know I have everything. I know I have everything. I'm not saying that I know I have everything, but I still want something." Then he said, "Okay, what is it?" She said, "I want you. I want all of you." And all the other ladies there, I'm talking about not girls, these are young ladies, unmarried but of marriageable age. And all the other ladies there, they interpreted what she said as meaning that she wants like to marry Jesus and own him all for herself. And all of them began to murmur, like, "What kind of question is that? Like, all of us are here. You now want to marry Jesus. Like, what do you mean?" So the girls began to grumble, and then the Lord said to them, No, you are not listening to our question. So let me answer our question so you can understand it." Then the Lord said to her, "If you have all of me, what will you do with me? What will you do with me? What will you do with me?" That was what I was hearing until I woke up. "What will you do with me? What will you do with me? What will you do with him? What will you do with Jesus? Will you do with him?" It is not as if he hid himself from us, or that he took himself away from us, or that he didn't make himself available to us. But it is up to us to do something with him. It's up to us. It's like if they gave you $1 million, if they give each of us $1 million, and they say, "What will you do with $1 million? What will you do with $1 million?" All of us won't want to spend it the same way. That's the truth. Somebody here will say, "If I have $1 million, I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire and begin to enjoy my rest. I will go on a boat cruise. I will travel the world." Another person will say, "If I have $1 million, I will establish a cancer research institute." Another person will say, "If I have $1 million, I'm going to start a business. Maybe he or she has a particular business in mind." Another person will say, "If I have $1 million, I'm going to establish a hospital." Another person will say, "If I have $1 million, I'm going to have a football club." Another person will say, "If I have $1 million, I'm going to travel to Mars, or I'm going to go to the moon. I want to experience space." Another person will say, "If I have $1 million, I'm going to build a big hotel and start my tourism business." All of us who want to spend that $1 million the same way, everybody will know what they want to spend that $1 million on. And nobody can say, "My idea is better than yours," or "Your idea is stupid," or "My idea is not." Everybody has a right to the picture that they see in their heart and how they want that picture fulfilled. You have a right to your vision of your future, and you have a right to the material or the resources that will help you build that future. You have a right to that. I'm telling you the same thing. If you have Jesus, really you have him, but what will you do with him? That is where it starts from. What will you do with him? Are you willing to build with him? Are you willing to put him into your vision and say, okay, this is my vision in life, and just at the center of it? Are you willing to do something with Jesus or not? That is the first thing. So a lot of people, they do things in spite of Jesus, or they do it despite Jesus. They have Jesus in their life, but they face their life ambitions and situations only on human reality. Jesus was never really in the mix. He's never really present in that situation, and yet he's the only one that can keep anyone afloat, especially if you're born again. You cannot build a reality outside of Jesus. That is the first thing. You want to stay consistent? You have to do it with Jesus. You have to engage him and talk to him. You have to see the world through his eyes. No matter what you want to do, you want to do a business, you want to marry a wife, you see a beautiful girl, you want to ask her out. I'm not kidding. Jesus is not averse to any aspect of human reality. There is nothing you want to do that Jesus will tell you. Now, except, of course, things that you know you shouldn't do. But if there's anything you want to do that is lawful and good, and why not? Jesus wants to be a part of your full story. That is one. Number two, you must set goals. So a lot of us, we set only short-term goals. Then we just survive the next 1 month. When I was struggling financially, my goal can never go beyond the next month. My salary only goes for 30 days. So if I'm going to do any plan, I have to plan for 30 days. I didn't have enough resources to plan for 10 years or to plan for 15 years. So my salary determined how far my vision will go. When I was working towards salary, I couldn't plan beyond 30 days, 28 days, the yearly period, the 23rd. So that 23-day cycle is my plan, or 30-day cycle. Okay, what am I doing this month? Okay, then I'll say, okay, this is how much I spent on fuel. So I'm going to reduce my going out. I'm going to do this because my vision is going to be 30 days. However, if you are going to stay consistent at the top, you have to plan long term. You have to plan long term. You have to plan a year, 2 years. What do I want to achieve? Where do I want to get to? So a lot of people, they don't give themselves the chance to do that. They don't, and you should. Anybody that would dream among us, and you want your dream to come to pass, you must dream as a man or woman of liberty. Let me say that again. See, a slave can only daydream. A slave can never dream. I remember reading Roots, the story of Kunta Kinte years ago, and the dream he had of owning a business and thriving. And according to the book, he was a man, maybe him or his grandfather, he was a man of very shrewd business acumen. But he was a slave. And one day, just one day, when he was so close to buying his freedom, all his investment, everything was his to his name. But he was a slave. But he was working for a boss who allowed him to keep some money. So he was doing business with the money. He was doing a lot of good things. He was making money. He was doing so well. And one day his boss gambled, and the boss lost all his money. And when the boss lost all his money, the boss refused to let him go because he was a slave. So basically, what he owned then became that of his boss. Of course, it became, so he dream, a slave can dream, but a son can dream. You must have lofty dreams. Lofty dreams. You must have lofty dreams. You must have unique dreams. Again, I have a friend. He preaches like David Oyedepo, like Bishop David Oyedepo. When you hear him preach, you will think you are listening to Bishop Oyedepo. He so much mimics the man's voice, meaning the man paced himself after the man, the way the man paces himself, quotes scripture, the way the man quotes scripture. If you are listening to him audio, you would think he's Bishop Oyedepo. One day I invited him to our PMN, Newman Ministers Network, to come and speak. I believe I was maybe in Edo State or in Delta State for that program. And he called in, he dialed in on Zoom and he spoke. And people began to say, ah, this person, even though because of the name, this person is speaking like Bishop Oyedepo. And I began to laugh. Later, I told him, I said, oh, everybody said you speak like Bishop Oyedepo. He said, yes. He said, you know how much it cost me. I had to teach myself. I watched that man so much until the spirit came into me and I began to talk like him. I said, you will die in poverty, sir. This is how people die in poverty. He said, why? I said, you are mimicking a man that is already made. Like, poor version, right? A genuine imitation of an original that is alive. Nobody will listen to imitation. As long as the original is alive, he's the person everybody will go to. You must build your own identity. You must build your own identity. This is who I am. This is me. This is me. This is who I am. You have to build your own identity. You must build your own unique way of doing things. It is hard to stay consistent. Everybody will say, oh, this is how they do it. Don't do it that way. See, all of us in this world don't think the same way. Every day I engage in a world of words. My world is a world of words. I write. I read people's opinion. I read people's comment. And you can see from Nigeria to America, from America to Indonesia, from Indonesia to the UK, how diverse people's opinions are. That proves to you that people don't think the same way. So if some people are thinking in one way, you will find somebody who will think the way you are thinking. And that person will be your customer. Because you and the person will be thinking alike. People who think alike will flock together. You just must find your own niche. Therefore, you shouldn't be afraid to do things your own way. To do things your own way. Don't be afraid to do things your own way. You want to stay at the top, let there be a signature. Be a signature. Have your own taste, have your own identity. It is important that you do so. So you have your own identity. You do things your own way. Then you build from the scratch. A lot of Christians, they don't want to go through the pains of building things, of starting something from ground zero and building it upwards without losing focus or losing their vision. And that is very funny. That a Christian cannot imagine that, okay, this is how I want to do business, and this is how I'm going to do business. And you evolve your own style of doing business, and you stay true and consistent to it, so that over time it will become a dominant culture. People will begin to say, I want to do business the way so and so does business. I want to run my hospital the way this person wants to have. You know, so a lot of places I'll go to, I'll see that everybody will follow the same format. And I'll be like, why are people so lazy? Why can't your own approach to business be different? Why must you copy somebody? Because why can't you just have your own? So when somebody comes into your business place, the experience they will go away with will be unique. The owner of Virgin Atlantic, when he was a young one, he said he had an idea. He was writing a magazine. He was the head of the edits, was the head of the school magazine for his school. He said he had an idea. He wanted to do a magazine and get Coca-Cola and Pepsi to advertise. But his school magazine is insignificant. Nobody will put money in the school magazine. So he wrote a thank you message to Coca-Cola and he sent it to Pepsi, thanking them for the money they sent for advertisement in his magazine. They saw it and they quickly went to him to say, how much is he selling out a page for adverts? He told them, so they placed the advert. Now, when the other people now heard it, they did not place the advert, so he had the problem in the magazine. And he was talking about how he was able to raise the fund to build his business. Then he said, he realized that in those days, pay attention, that in those days, there was this thing called mixtape. Nigerians who are listening to me now, who are my older than me by 3 years, or my 8 mate or younger than me by 3 years, will know what to call mixtape. In those days, musicians just like now, they would do albums. The albums will have 10, 20 songs, 20 tracks. But out of those tracks, maybe two or three will be the hits. But if you want to hear the hits, you have to buy the whole album. He now realized that some DJs in those days, they can help you pick some song from this musician, another song from this musician, another song from this musician. They will put it together. They will now do what we call the mixtape for you, so that you can consistently hear all your hit songs on one CD or in one cassette. So he said, when he noticed that people are doing that, he wrote a letter to Sony Music and he said, oh, he wanted them to send him some of their CDs. He wants to sell it to students on their campus. And Sony Music sent him all the records, maybe 10, 10, 10, 10 each, of all their star musicians, and told him to establish it. They just want to encourage him so that on campus they can have an outlet because people like music. But instead of selling those things, he got a DJ and he began to make mixtape for students. He didn't pay for shop. He said he saw one Indian man who was selling school sandals, and the man was not making any money. So he went to the man and he said to the man, man, you pay for this shop? The man said, yes. How much do you pay? The man told him. He said, do you want people to be coming here so that they can buy your sandal? The man said, yes. He said, okay, you give me half of your space. I will get students to come here. Then they will buy your sandal. And the man said, oh, what do you want to do? He said, no, I just want to put a DJ and play music. You know, students like music, and then they will come. So the man said, okay. So he didn't pay for nothing. He got space. He got a DJ, and the DJ was his friend also collecting money. And then he got free CDs, and then he was blasting all this music. And then people come in asking that they want to buy the song from this person. They will tell them, oh, why don't you just select 20 songs you like? We will make you a mixtape. So then they'll make the person the mixtape, give the person the CD. They will keep all the money. They didn't sell anything for Sony Music. They didn't sell one CD for Sony Music. They were just using the song in their albums to do mixtape. And then they were making all the money from the mixtape. And within a short time, they had the same establishment in 3-4 schools. Students would come in, listen to music, get their mixtape, hang out. And it was the experience he sold. And that was how he made his point. That's how he began to build his empire. And many people tell me, ah, you must have 10 billion. I said, you don't need that. You just need to have the mindset of the just. You just need to have the mindset that is undefeatable. You just need to have a mindset that is only built for success. Everything I lay my hands upon shall be blessed. It is not a suggestion, it is a statement of fact. Everything I lay my hands upon shall be blessed. And so, build from the scratch, sit down. How do I get this business moving? How do I get my career moving? Which city do I go? Don't forget to do it with Jesus. He will tell you where to go, tell you what to do. Then you will have the right mindset to how to tackle these things and you will progress. Don't make the mistake of thinking that God is going to come and solve issues for you, which has given you power to solve. Again, don't make the mistake of assuming in your head that it is God's job to solve problems for you, which he has given you the power to solve. None of you here will like it. And you will be very wicked parents if they give your children homework from school, and your children, you are paying huge school fees, and your children will sit down and expect you to do the homework for them. None of us here will like it. When my children were young, I used to help them with their homework, but I wouldn't do it for them. I would sit with them, I'll make sure they do it. And as soon as it got to a certain age, they dare not, except they just wanted to explain one or two things to them. They will do their homework for themselves. I will tell them, I pay school fees so that I can give you problems to solve. Why are you bringing your problems to me to solve? Why are you not solving these problems? And oftentimes, a lot of Christians feel entitled. So, because of them, then they don't learn. They blame God for all their misfortunes, and then they lose out because nothing will work. I'll give you an example. I had a long call with somebody today. Person said she has left Christianity to start worshiping Ifa. I said, why? She said, for 11 years, she waited for Jesus to solve her marital issues. She wanted to get married. She was a Jesus baby, according to her. And she couldn't get a husband. And so she just got tired and she told herself, if God cannot solve this problem, then let me go and serve the devil. So she left the church. And I said, okay, tell me about the relationship. And she said, well, the first guy that I dated, I really didn't like him. I don't want to marry him. But I just gave him a chance. So we started talking. And then he left me and went to marry somebody else. And I said, you are not taking responsibility for this relationship. She said, am I a man? Am I supposed to be the one to take responsibility for a relationship? I said, you are not a man. But you don't want to marry this person. You just said so. She said yes. I said, why are you angry that the person went to marry somebody else? You yourself don't want to marry someone. But God brought the person your way and you dated the person for 3 years. But you and the person are attending the same church. You just go together, you do things together. But at the back of your mind, you are not really keen on being with him. So because I'm not keen on being with him, but you are managing him, you are trusting God that somebody better will come. That somebody better will come. So you are not really sure. Therefore, you are not all in. Therefore, the person will see the insincerity. Do people think that they really can be so deceitful that their partners or the person they are going out with wouldn't notice that they are deceitful? Can you be with somebody and be deceiving the person? And the person will have no idea. You think somebody that is deceiving will not feel it? The person will not know you are not all in, even if the person does not say so. You are talking to somebody. The person is seeing a consistent pattern of distrust in you. But you are saying that you are expecting him not to see it, even if he doesn't see anything. I know a lot of men that you are dating them. Once they see that you are inconsistent, they will say, okay. And then they will move on. But they will not leave you. They will still continue to talk to you. They will continue with you. But they have already moved on. They are already searching for somebody else. Why? Because they can see that you are not straightforward with them. And they don't want anybody to make a fool of them at the end of the day. So they will shift. They will shift and move on to somebody else. But they will still be with you. In fact, if it's a sexual relationship, they will still be sleeping with you. And you still be sleeping with the person. And then suddenly the person will say he's marrying somebody else. And then the woman will say, ah, he's marrying somebody else. How? He was still with me 2 days ago. Those are the things. Many people would then not be able to talk about these things the way they should. But you cannot be inconsistent and say that it is God's fault. Of course, it is not God's fault. It is your fault. It is your fault. It is you. It is you, not God. That is the truth. It is on you and not on God. It is on you and not on God. You must accept that. That it is on you. If you want to stay consistent, therefore, you would be clear and open about your priorities. A person that wants to do business will say, I want to do business. You will not get money for business and go and use it to talk to your students' school fees. A lot of people, that's how they feel. They have horrendous debts. You know, what they would reach out to me, but I mean, girl, I want to invest in my business. I want to invest in my business. I've said how much is that? I can't even, but I already know that the person is in like 20 million naira debt. Am I going to be stupid to commit 30 million to you for business when I know that as soon as I pay you, debtors are waiting that you want to use my money to pay off? You will now put me at the person that will now be calling you and be asking you, hello, I didn't see the dividends you promised. Oh, what about the profits? How is the business doing? You will now start lying to me. And a lot of people, they will blame God for all the decisions they make that is causing them not to get favor. They blame God for their relationship that does not work, even though it is up to them. They didn't make the right decisions at the right time. You said, the same lady said, oh, I did that somebody else. We are dating. And then, at that time, I decided by myself that I don't want to marry him yet. I just want him to be there. I just want him to be there because I'm starting to find my feet. I'm not really ready yet. And then the person went on to marry somebody else. How is this God's fault? The Bible says a man that is double-minded will receive nothing of the Lord. A double-minded person will receive nothing of the Lord. It is a consistent person. Consistency is part of character. That was why they gave this guy, Yusufan, Jacob, that was why they gave him the name they gave him. He was an inconsistent man. He was an inconsistent man. A fair weather friend. A fair weather friend. And as a result of that, when he was having problems with labor, he couldn't blame God. You cannot blame God because you are inconsistent. Because you are basically not going to play by God's rules. God is extremely consistent. That's why we call him faithful. You want to stay at the top consistently, your character must speak consistency. The same way you handle yourself when you have one client, the same way you handle that client when you have one client, the same way you handle your clients when you have 1,000 or 10,000 clients. It is part of what defines you, your ability to stay consistent. To stay consistent. So that it is obvious that you are unflinching in your resolve to be successful. So when the lady told all the things she told me, and then well, after she finished speaking and I began to talk, she was shocked because she expected me to give her a religious answer. But of course I didn't. I told her that I'm quite disappointed. Like, of all the things you can do, then you said that if I'm going to turn your back on God to go in this direction, to go in a defeated direction. So I showed him how this thing she is doing is retrogressive in nature and does not go in consistently with success, and why she's still where she is now, still unmarried, still bitter. You are not a thanksgiving person. You did not understand the principles of being consistent. You are today not ready, tomorrow not ready, but you kept meeting ready guys. So if I'm ready and you're not ready, can two work together except they agree? But you want the person that is ready to stick around and not move on when you are dragging your feet. Oh, come on. How can that be God's fault? How can that in any way be God's fault? The same thing with people with career, the same pattern. You get a job here you're supposed to build, and you must always build other people's businesses with the mindset that within a short time you will leave. A lot of us don't get that. We want to work at somebody else's company for 30 years, for 40 years. A job that you know that most likely may not have that long of a lifespan, depending on who is handling it. Tomorrow they may do recapitalization at your bank that you're working for will be swallowed up. Other people's businesses are not something you join and you want to do 50 years. You join the business to gain experience, to build your network. And once you have the experience and the network, all you need is to roll out your own plan and start your own thing. A lot of people, they are just afraid to step out into the water, to do their own thing, to build their own businesses. They are scared. They are scared to do right by themselves. How can you be scared to do right by you? How can you be scared to become master of your own destiny? You want to be saying yes and yes and to somebody every day so that the person determines what your family eats, whether your family eat or not. Some people will sit in one office and determine what your bonus is, what you will collect, if you will collect, if you will not collect, and you are happy with that. Oh no. Well, if you're happy with that at the beginning, within a short time, you will begin to rethink it. That I cannot put my destiny in the hand of any man. I tell myself that all the time. You should not be restful. You should be restless. Because the day will come. They will do something for you. You will be out. And you will notice that how unfair it is that you have committed your life to a particular work and you have spent so much time on it. And suddenly, when you get to the peak, where you think you can even give your best, they will tell you, bye-bye. And then you realize that you have stayed consistent on the wrong lane of history. History remembers those who found, who own, who establishes. History frowns at those who don't. Even though at the end of the day, a lot of engineers work with Henry Ford. So tomorrow we remember Henry Ford's name. A lot of people work with Tesla. Today we remember Tesla's name. Alexander Graham Bell, we remember his name. A lot of people that. Because those who found are remembered by history. They stay on top of the food chain. It is important that believers begin to think in this direction. You want to be consistent. You want to stay there for a long time without having up and down this thing that, like a yo-yo, you have to build your own. You must build your own. It is the right thing to do. When it comes to the issue of marriage, the same principle applies. There are two ways a marriage will go. There are three ways, but two ways are better. You see, if you stay married and every day is war for you and your wife, every other thing in your life will be affected. Every other thing will be affected. A man who does not have rest at home, a woman who does not have rest at home, cannot give her best to her career, cannot give her best to God, cannot give her best to her children, cannot give her best in any way. When there is turmoil within, there will be chaos without. But that is one way that marriages are. Marriage, where you are consistently pained, consistently weeping, consistently in trouble, consistently, it is going to go either way. It is either you identify what is the problem, the bone of contention in that marriage, and you sort it out painfully. Both of your husband and wife, you sit down, you say, we have built up resentment. I have come to dislike your mother. You have come to loathe my brother. The way my father spoke to you that day, I know you must hate it. The way my mother spoke with you that day, I know you must dislike it. You must then come to a place of reconciliation and heal together. And tell yourself, we are coming out of this like a phoenix. We are coming out of our ashes to fly high. It is either you go in that direction or you tell each other the truth. We cannot continue this way. We cannot continue this way. When I see couples who, despite all odds, stay together in acrimony, when I see their children, their children are the worst. People who pretend that for the sake of the church, they are members of the church, some churches, and they can't deal with each other because of what the church will say. So they'll stay married, they stay in the same house. But their enemies at home, they don't talk, they don't relate with each other, and the children are caught in between. When you are talking to their children, the children don't believe in God. The children, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in marriage, they don't believe in relationships. There was a 15-year-old girl, 15-year-old, who came searching for me in Surulere, 15. She came, and after the service, she said, I want to see you. And then she came to our office and she said, please, sir, guess how old I am. And I looked at her, I said, maybe 18, 19. She said, I'm 15. And I've been the mother to my siblings. And I'm tired of it. My father and mother, they don't talk to each other. They hate each other. We all live in the same house. So my mother has damaged that. She doesn't want anything to do with our own children, to spite my father. And my father has told me that he doesn't want anything to do with the children to spite my mother. Because my mother will say that my father wants to travel the world on business trips and leave her to be caring for the children. She didn't come to this world to care for children. And the mother then would travel the world of her own and leave the children. And the father would travel and leave the children. And both of them don't talk to each other. But in their church, on Sundays when they're in Nigeria, both of them would dress in the same kind of color. And they would go to church. And this girl came and said, Benga, please, what can you do? Help me. I was looking at this young lady. How she does not believe anymore in marriage, in faith, in grace. But a young man will see her tomorrow and say, the parents are attending the church, they are together, they are in fact a good catch. The damage they've done to that young lady, the damage they've done to her, my God, from the way she was speaking, and she was crying, and I was looking at her, I was thinking, oh my God, what are these people? These people don't know what they are doing. I'm saying to you, every other thing in your life will be inconsistent if you do not adjust now. Sort it out. sit each other down. Don't be proud. Don't be proud to each other. Try and build your own home. This is how to stay consistently happy in marriage. Open dialogue, communication, speak to each other, care about each other, be genuine, affirm each other, and allow the things that ought to become to become. Let bygones become. That is the way that we're going to enjoy the marriage. Finally, it is said that, oh, a country like Nigeria has the 1%. People, it is believed, are consistently at the top of the food chain. The one thing that all of them have in common is that they build wealth as a matter of principle. They don't build wealth as a matter of survival. You see, politicians build wealth as a matter of survival. That's why they steal so much. They just steal the money, they put it somewhere because they are trying to survive. So they build wealth as a matter of survival. Oftentimes they will spend the money, they will waste the money, governments of foreign nations will seize the money from them and all that. But you see, those who are actually are determined to be financially independent and wealthy, they are not concerned about poverty. They build wealth for the sake of wealth. It's as simple as that. They are being the best because there is something called the best and it is attainable. They are not the best because there is something called the worst and they don't want the worst. No, they are the best because they choose to be the best. Can you please choose to be the best? In our generation, we've seen fashion designers or tailors who are millionaires or billionaires who are driving Rolls Royce. In our generation, in Nigeria, we've seen people who are not into fraud, who are doing well, consistently well, and they find themselves to be the leaders of their own field of endeavor. I've seen celebrity bakers. A man flew in from New York. I sat with him. We talked for hours. He was the celebrity baker who baked the presidential cakes for Nigerian for four or five Nigerian presidents. Every time they have an occasion, he's the one that would bake their cake. Sometimes he would bake their cake and fly it in from New York. A baker. I've seen people establishing all forms of businesses and being the frontliners in these businesses. Frontliners. You must be determined that enough of inconsistent growth in my life, enough of topsy-turvy reality, enough of abundance today, poverty tomorrow. If one does not finish, another one does not come. Money must be consistent in your hand. I mean, it is a must that every time somebody would say, you must have, and you are not going to bring it out groaning, there must be abundance of it within your reach and that you own or that belongs to you. If you are going to do that, the principles I've taught today are simple as they are your principles. And so follow those principles, apply them to your business, to your relationship, to your life, to your career. You begin to notice that things begin to change. You begin to wear a new face. You begin to have a deeper understanding of each reality. And as you have that deeper understanding, it helps you to redefine reality. It changes you. Changes how you think. When the time comes for you to pay the children's school fees, you don't worry anymore. You have paid ahead. And paying ahead does not mean that it's just a nuisance you are taking care of because it is not part of the wealth you are building. You must work with this. You must work with this deliberately. Work on this deliberately. You must work on this deliberately. As we give our offering, I'm asking that those of us who are not consistent, you know, that there's no consistency in your work, in your career. This is not where you plan to be. No consistency in your finances. No consistency in your relationship. You just find yourself lacking a sure foot. You are not sure-footed. You are wobbly. Today, you're strong. Tomorrow, you're weak. You cannot find the energy. You cannot find the grace. You cannot find the power to do the things that you plan to do or that you ought to do. And you are on the call. It is the grace of God that will change you. It is the grace of God that will enlighten you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will overshadow you. You are the first giver in today's offering. It is time for your path to be consistent. It is time for your way to be consistent. It is time for your career to be consistent. It is time for you to have a job for a stretch without any complaint, without anybody sacking you, throwing you out, or just not wanting to see your face. All the excuses and all the, it is time to do away with them. It's time to do away with them. It's time for the new you, the consistent you to emerge. It is time for you to be able to say, this is my story. This is my reality. This is what God is doing for me now. It's time for you to have a relationship that is consistent, not 3 months stop, 2 months stop, another 1 month stop, another 1 year stop. No, no, no. It's time for consistency. It is time for you to be sure-footed. It is time. This is the season. This is the night for it. The night for the grace for it. I've told you before, when I teach on the topic, there's impartation for it. Because some of us, without that impartation, we cannot be consistent. God had to take a leg away from Jacob so that Jacob can become consistent. Before then, Jacob was always running everywhere. But when God would give him a new name, God took away one of his legs. He couldn't run about anymore. Because of that, he learned how to stay in one spot. He learned how to be consistent. He learned how not to provoke and try to cheat people anymore because he had no leg to use to run. It is time to put the word of God to work in your life and build consistency in every area of your life. For some of us, there is no consistency in our words. It's time for your words to be consistent. You say, I'm going to the market, go to the market. You say, I come from the market, I come from the market. You no longer find yourself afraid to tell the truth or lying by default. You just be consistent with the word of God, consistent with the way you carry yourself. If you tell somebody, I'm going to come by 7, you go by 7. You begin to notice the change by the Spirit of God in you. If your spirit begins to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit for consistency, you walk in it, you fly in it, you soar in it, you move in it, you are consistently blessed. Your hand are made steady. Your hands are made steady. You find yourself consistently doing the will of God without a struggle. There is consistency in you. There is consistency in you. There is consistency in you from today by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. No longer will you say, oh, I have daddy issues. I have commitment issues. I have abandonment issues. All those psychological problems are waved away. You find yourself doing things the way you should do them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name because you will answer us and you show us the path of life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
Glory. Glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.